How do you do? It isn't easy to change attitudes and behavior learned in childhood and reinforced daily and practiced as an adult. Even when you realize your ways are wrong, that you're hurting others and yourself, it isn't easy to change, as the man in this story discovered. But he was transformed radically and permanently when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, life-changing true stories that bring the good news, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Who would believe that the little storefront rescue mission that opened in 1877 in Chicago's Skid Row would become the oldest rescue mission in the country? The doors have never closed at Pacific Garden Mission, and the people just keep coming because the world is cruel, and they know they're welcomed at the old lighthouse. They receive hearty meals, clean clothing, and a safe place to sleep, even medical and dental attention, and all without charge, all provided through the sacrificial gifts of friends and listeners. Men, women, and children, more than 500 each night, find refuge at the mission. Counselors and pastors, speaking the truth in love, help those walking in darkness turn from their meaningless lives and receive the greatest gift of all, new life. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2,563 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Jim, what happened to your face?
I was playing football today, and some big guy came along and punched me for yelling at the kids.
You punch him back?
He was bigger than me.
You gotta learn to fight back, son.
Daddy, he was bigger than me, full grown.
Yeah, don't matter. You gotta make him think you're tough.
I tricked them by yelling for you, and then they ran off.
Hey, I won't always be there for you. Some guy sees you scared, he'll tear you apart.
How am I supposed to whip some guy twice my size?
Look, listen to me, son. New York is rough, but there's always gonna be guys like that, no matter where you go. You gotta fight back.
Well, next time I'll kill him, that's what.
No, you don't have to kill him. Just defend yourself. Fight back, or you'll end up dead.
Fighting became a way of life for the man in our story. Like a human tornado, cursing, threatening, and beating his way through problems, he was feared, but not loved, not even by himself. How do you approach a man like that to tell him there's a better way to live, to settle disputes? Well, this is how it happened. It's the true story of Jim Winberry right now on Unshackled.
There were seven kids in our family, and I was the oldest. We lived in New York City. I had to go to church, but religion didn't affect my life the rest of the time. I was a wise guy in school and at home, always getting into trouble.
Hey, get in here, boy. What's this I hear about you two been stealing from the store?
What? Who?
Jim and Robert were stealing from the store. Bunch of thieves. That's what we're raising here.
Is that true, Jim?
We were just looking at some stuff, that's all.
Yeah, and the stuff went into your pocket, right? You want to go to jail, huh?
No, Dad. We didn't mean nothing by it, honest.
Nah, don't give me that. Lying on top of stealing. Look, pack a suitcase, both of you.
What are you going to do?
I'm taking him to the manager. After that, they go to jail. Start packing!
We didn't go to jail, but our home was anything but peaceful, and I was the main cause of all the friction. Me and my vicious temper. I was always beating up on my brother. One time, I smashed him through the screen door. School was more the same. When the monitor asked me not to fight in the hall, I took a kid to the other hall and beat him up. But I also went to the rescue of those who were being bullied, including a teacher in high school who walked with a limp.
You ever talk like that again to him and I'll smash your face in, you understand? Now get out of here.
Oh, I appreciate what you just did for me, Jim.
I can't stand bullies.
Yeah, I saw how you stood up for that boy yesterday, too.
It's not right to pick on others.
Well, it seems to be human nature.
Well, not when I'm around.
They thought they could scare me just because they outnumbered me. Well, I guess I showed them.
Well, you should let go of the fighting, though, Jim. It isn't worth it.
Well, sometimes it's the only way to settle things.
There are better ways to solve problems.
I respected him, and I didn't fight in his classroom after that. But other teachers were afraid of my violent temper. If someone hurt me or threatened me in any way, I fought back as if my life depended on it. That's how I was brought up. First I threatened, and then I followed through with force. There was one time I caught a glimpse of another way to live, though.
Come on, you kids settle down and eat your supper, all right?
Hey, Jim, whatever happened to those two sisters?
What sisters?
Oh, yeah, they were in our youth group for a while, then quit coming. Yeah, so I went to their house.
Ah, he was sweet on them.
Hey, shut up. And, you know, what a bunch of weirdos they were.
What do you mean?
Well, they were all sitting around the table and their faces glowing.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm serious. They were all happy and smiling. They started telling me how they were saved.
Yeah, they were Jesus freaks.
Exactly. I got out of there as quick as I could. Man, that stuff is not for me. I didn't even know what they were talking about. Knowing God personally. You know, those people were nuts. How different they were from my family. After I graduated, I worked out with weights until I gained 40 pounds of muscle and just as much attitude. I kept getting into trouble, so I decided to move to Florida in spite of my family's objections. When I got there, I was a weightlifting instructor until I heard about a job as a forensic guard at a prison for the criminally insane. I interviewed for the position. I got it.
You look like the kind of guy that can take care of himself, Jim. How much is weight?
220. I grew up on the streets of New York.
Yeah, so did I. But these times are different, let me tell you. Some of them plead insanity just to escape the death penalty. They're crazy like a fox, you know?
Hmm.
They make weapons out of anything. They got their gangs and cliques, and there's more scamming and lying, and even murders than you'd believe.
Sounds like New York, all right.
Yeah, you just get the picture.
Yeah, well, listen, I grew up with that stuff.
Some of them know karate, so you just got to watch yourself. All the time.
I've met guys like that. I've knocked them out cold.
Good. You're hired. Start filling out the paperwork.
The first day at work, a siren went off, and they handed out to each man a helmet and a club. Most of the guards were 50 or 60 years old, so I ran ahead of everyone. Inside the building, the inmates were kicking a guard on the floor. I tackled the one who had jumped the sergeant, got him in a chokehold, and threw him back a few feet. And the others backed off. But you know, I had second thoughts. That place was really scary with its barbed wire and weirdos. I was glad to hear from my dad when he called one day.
How's it going, son?
Not great. Every day my life is on the line.
I wouldn't want to do it.
Oh, you wouldn't believe some of the things I've heard from the other guards. If two or three of those guys ever gang up on me, they could kill me. They're vicious, Dad.
Why don't you come home?
Oh, I wish I could, but I need the money.
Well, there's a job opening where I work.
Doing what?
Assistant manager in the parts department.
Okay. Hey, I'll be home soon. Back in New York, I took up boxing to better defend myself. Right away, I started winning, and people were soon talking about me, which I liked, being proud and arrogant. But I was also very vicious. One time, a man in a car nearly hit my little brother, so I chased him down, grabbed him, and told him he'd never drive again if I saw him on our street. Almost 2 years later, I met Nadine, and we began dating. One day, I told her about one of my encounters. I was playing deck hockey with my brother one time, and he hit me in the face with a hockey stick.
Surely it was an accident.
Oh, yeah. He knew he was in trouble, though, and he and his friend took off running upstairs, and I was so mad, I ripped the banister right off the wall, and I went after him.
You're kidding.
Well, I'm pretty strong. I tried to hit him over the head with it, but they dodged, and they ran away.
You're wild, Jim.
Well, these kids got to learn. Yeah, I made him fix the banister.
You'd better never treat me like that.
Oh, no way, Nadine. You're my sweetheart. Nadine and I were married, but I didn't treat her well. I was always in a bad mood, screaming at her, neglecting her to go out and drink with the guys. I was also gambling by then at the tracks. She got more and more upset because I didn't come home at night. We had a baby on the way, and she began having complications.
If you would stay home more, maybe I would feel better.
If I want to go out, I'll go out. Don't nag me.
I don't want to lose this baby, Jim. Please call the doctor.
All right. Now go sit down.
There's got to be something he can do.
Hello.
Doctor, this is Jim Winberry. My wife is bleeding. I need you to come over here.
I don't do house visits.
Well, you better make an exception.
I'm sorry. No exceptions.
If you don't come over here and do a house visit, then I'll be visiting you in the hospital.
Don't say that to the doctor!
Calm down, Mr. Winberry. There's nothing I can do. Your wife just has to lie down.
All right, go lie down, Nadine.
She can't get up for any reason. You'll have to take care of her.
Ah, man.
To be honest with you, I think she's going to lose the baby, but there's nothing we can do now. If the bleeding stops, bring her to the office a few days later.
All right. That upset me so much, I didn't know what to do. I went into the kitchen by myself, and for the first time in years, I prayed. God, I don't know what you want from me, but whatever you want, I'll do. Just make sure this baby is okay.
In a moment, we'll learn how God answered Jim's prayer. Unshackled is now broadcast around the world on nearly 1,200 radio outlets. But you can also hear these compelling stories anytime without radio, thanks to modern technology. If you have a computer and are online, visit our website, www.unshackled.org, and you can listen to a complete Unshackled story of your choosing. These remarkable testimonies of God's grace are being translated into 5 languages and are loved by millions. Now think of the impact. So if you know someone whose testimony would light the darkness and bring others to Christ, why not share that story with us? Our radio committee will take it from there, getting references and details. According to the Bible, we overcome the adversary by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So visit our website to learn more, www.unshackled.org, or write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
As soon as our little Antoinette was born fine and healthy, I quickly forgot my promise to God and kept on living a wild life, drinking, gambling, and carousing. I was still boxing, though not as much. Then one day, an old friend came to the door, a friend who used to cause havoc with me wherever we went.
Good to see you, buddy.
Hey. What's up, Steve?
I got to tell you something, Jim. I became a Christian.
What are you talking about, man? We're all Christians.
No, that's not true. You must choose to become a Christian. I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to give me eternal life. I gave my life to God. I'm a Christian.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Listen, I want you to come to a Bible study with me tomorrow night. Then you'll know what I mean.
I'm not going to any Bible study, okay? So don't bug me.
Just come once, Jim. I know you'll like it.
Get out of my face. I don't want to hear about it. I don't know what you're on, but keep away from me, okay? That night, as I was lying in bed, I kept thinking about that prayer in the kitchen when I told God I'd do whatever he wanted me to do, if he saved my child. Then I thought about my friend and the glow on his face. The change in him was haunting me, so I called him. Steve, this is Jim. Okay, I'll go. Pick me up tomorrow night.
I'm really glad you decided to come with me, Jim.
I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'll tell you right now. If these people say things they don't like, I'll tell them flat out they're lying, okay?
Sure. I want to let you know, though, that Al is going to be there.
Al from high school?
Same guy. I know you were enemies then, but he's a Christian now, too.
That's funny. He went out with a girlfriend of mine once, and I told him I'd take care of him. Now you're telling me he's going to be at this Bible study?
That was then. This is now, Jim.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't have any hard feelings. The Bible study was held at the home of one of the church elders, who welcomed me like an old friend. Sure enough, he had that same glow, too, and there was no tension in his home, unlike ours. As he taught, there was just the feeling of peace. I didn't know what to make of it.
Jesus said a lot of things that don't make sense to the world, didn't he? He said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. How many of us can do that?
Not me.
Well, very few for very long, especially on the highway, right?
But Jesus gave us an example to live by. He washed the feet of his disciples, even Judas, the one who betrayed him. And he prayed for the soldiers who nailed him to the cross. What kind of love is that?
Only God can love like that.
That's right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, we read, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And in verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean?
When you believe that Christ died in your place, you are born again and receive his righteousness. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you, giving you the power to overcome evil.
I listened, but after the Bible study, I was still fighting God. We gathered around, eating goodies and talking, and one of the men asked me if I had a Bible. I said, yeah, man, I have a Bible. And he asked me if I ever read it. What is this, 20 questions? Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. Do you have health insurance? Think about that for a while.
Oh, easy, Jim. We're all friends here.
Yeah, well, I've always had a short fuse.
Oh, the Lord knows all about that.
Well, you know, I'm glad I came anyway.
Well, we're glad you came, too. Please come back next week.
My former enemy, Al, and his wife began to pick me up every week and take me to Bible study. I was still resisting it, but there was something about those people, something peaceful that I wanted. They had a softball team, but the rule was that you had to go to church to play on the team. So I started going to church just so I could play softball.
Oh, man. Oh, this is not our day, Jim.
Look, that first baseman is killing us. He's got 2 home runs already. What do you say the next time I run down the first baseline, I give him a quick right hand to the rib cage, maybe crack a rib or two? He won't cause any more problems then.
No, Jim, we don't do that here.
Well, just trying to be helpful.
We try to do what Jesus would do.
I kept going to Bible study, and my heart was being softened as they kept teaching me about God. One night we met in the chapel, and I heard things that pierced my hardened heart.
The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God does. Verse 11 of Proverbs chapter 15 says that hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? God knows the hidden motives of your heart. Hell is real, my friend. The Bible describes hell as a place of sorrow and pain and torments, where the fire is never quenched. Hell is a place of utter darkness, where you are separated from God forever and your desire for his love is never quenched. What would happen if you should die tonight without Christ? He has paid the penalty for your sins. If you don't accept his death in your place, you must pay the penalty yourself. The Lord said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
I knew that I needed to surrender to God, but I wasn't sure what to do. After the meeting, I spoke with one of the guys on the softball team. He asked me if I wanted to receive Christ as my Savior, so I prayed. God, I'm so sorry for my sins and for my evilness and for my vileness. I see that I'm a sinner, God, and I've sinned against you, a holy God. Please forgive me and save my soul. Jesus, I want to live for you.
Hey,
Hey, Jim, you look so relaxed.
Mr. Andre, I asked God to save me.
Oh, praise the Lord. I prayed that someone would get saved tonight.
Your prayers were answered.
Oh, you're a new creation, Jim. Don't forget that. Old things are passed away.
Maybe that's why I feel so much better already.
Mm-hmm. God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
I have a long way to go.
Oh, we all do, Jim. But from now on, Jesus will lead you.
I began reading the Bible and listening to Bible tapes while I drove to work. At home, I tried to be nicer to Nadine, but she was still deeply hurt by my past sins. She began seeing a psychologist who asked me to accompany her to a session one day. At one point, the psychologist asked her to express her feelings to me.
I feel like you've been mean to me for years, Jim. You don't pay any attention to me or to our baby either. You're self-centered and you frighten me when you yell and scream and throw things. Lately you've gotten a little better, but you're still very mean. You've always been mean to me.
Nadine, everything you just said is true, and I'm sorry for it. I've told you 50 times, honey, I'm sorry. I've begged for your forgiveness. I've been wrong. But God has changed me, and I want to do what's right now. I want to spend time with you and our daughter. I don't want to do the bad things anymore. You're right. I've been wrong. As God began to change me, I told others about Jesus. My old friends didn't want to hear about it, so I got rid of a lot of bad friends that way. I talked to my in-laws, I talked to my parents, I talked to anyone who would listen, even our little daughter.
Where are you going?
No place special, honey. I thought I'd take Antoinette for a ride in her wagon and tell her about Jesus.
All you talk about is Jesus.
He saved me, honey. And I pray that someday he'll save my whole family.
They're getting tired of hearing about it.
Nadine, I didn't want to hear about it either until one day it all made sense. It's so simple. And yet it's so profound. Jesus died for our sins. How can you get tired of hearing about that?
Well, I am.
He died for me, honey. He's changed me.
This is just the latest thing you're into. It won't last.
Oh, yes, it will, honey. I'm not perfect, but God forgives me, and I hope someday you will, for all the years that I wronged you.
You will see.
Come on, Antoinette. You want to go for a ride with Daddy, honey? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you know that Jesus loves you, honey? He made this whole world, but he still loves you and Mommy and me. That's the greatest news, sweetheart. Can you sing with me? Jesus loves me, this I know. I could hardly believe what was happening to me. The Lord continued to deal with me about sin in my life, patiently teaching me his truth, leading me in the paths of righteousness. One day, my younger brother was with me in the truck, and I wanted so much for him to receive the Lord as a Savior.
Watch out, Jim! That guy's trying to cut in!
I'll let him in.
Oh, that doesn't sound like the brother I grew up with.
Well, maybe he has an emergency or something.
I still remember how you chased down that guy that almost hit Johnny one day, remember?
Yeah.
You cut him off and threatened him. Boy, was he scared.
Yeah, I remember. But that Jim is dead now. God is teaching me to forgive others when they trespass against me.
Now, that's probably wise.
It's mandatory when you're a Christian. I mean, Jesus died for us so we could have God's forgiveness. How could we not forgive others?
It's not easy.
Oh, man, I did so many terrible things, especially to you, Bob. I was really mean, always beating up on you. I'm really sorry for all the bad things I did. Will you forgive me?
Oh, don't worry about it, Jim. Boy, I can see you're really changed.
I just want to know for sure that we'll be together in heaven someday, Bob. All you have to do is confess to God that you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you and to give you his salvation.
Well, I'll think about that, Jim.
Promise me you'll at least read the Bible and see for yourself. God will show you the truth. Some years later, my brother did receive Christ.
I was thrilled beyond measure when my 73-year-old grandmother asked me how to become a Christian. I told her about Jesus and how he died for us. And when I was finished, she prayed and asked him to save her. She faithfully walked with the Lord for the next 3 years before her death. One day, after a game of football in our yard, Dad called me upstairs.
Sit down, Jim. I want to talk with you.
What is it, Dad?
What's gotten into you?
Well, what do you mean?
Why, you don't fight anymore. You won't curse anymore. You're a different person, and you have a peace about you. What's going on?
Dad, I've been trying to tell you that I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. God has changed me. That's what's happened.
Well, your mother and I have always gone to church, and we tried to be good.
Good people don't go to heaven, Dad. Only sinners who surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. He must become your Lord and Savior, Dad.
Tell me how to become a Christian.
You have to believe the gospel according to the scriptures. And then you must repent, asking God to forgive your sins and to give you eternal life.
I want to do that, Jim.
I was saved in 1984, and God is still working on me. I've handed out thousands of tracts and Bibles, and I'm excited to tell others about Jesus. What a powerful thing Almighty God has done, taking a vicious man like me and giving me a new heart, one that hungers to share his love with others. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amazing, isn't it, the power of God's forgiveness, God's grace and love in anyone's life? Listening friend, whatever problem haunts you, whatever despair you face, nothing is impossible with God. He is our strength. And when you receive Christ into your heart and life, he promises never to leave you or forsake you. So why not do so now? If you need help or counsel in this life-changing decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2563. Heard in the true story of Jim Winberry were Rick Dianofsky, Jeff Lupitan, Darlene Gray, Guy Burrill, Rick Plastina, and P.J. Burns. Original music, Ralph Coburn, sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer, Ed Webb, script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. So take a moment and write to us today. Your letter means a lot to us. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When no one seems to care, we do. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with a counselor. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462. How do you do? The noted American author Thomas Wolfe said, "Lonely."